The Backyard Homestead Guide for Self-Sufficiency. Learn how to have a self-sufficient backyard, grow your own food organically, raise farm animals for sustainable living, and make money. Written by Erwin Cordero, narrated by Russell Newton for Hot Ghost Productions. In 1862, President Abraham Lincoln signed the Homestead Act, which gave the average American the opportunity to claim up to 160 acres of land, as long as they agreed to live on it, improve it, and pay a small registration fee. The act gave over 270 million acres to everyday citizens with the promise of living and improving the land. What is homesteading? Homesteading is a lifestyle characterized by the devotion to self-sufficiency, growing and preserving food and generating electricity using solar, wind, or water. Some homesteaders take it a step further and vow to never use money, preferring to make or barter for all of their needs. Others may take a more cautious approach, and while they want to produce as many resources as possible for themselves and their families, they may be okay with using some money or working a job with the goal of one day becoming fully self-sufficient. As you learn more about this practice, you'll realize that not all homesteaders share the same set of values. There is a diverse group of people who say yes to this way of life. You'll find that there are people who do this because they're just tired of the daily grind of urban living, while some want to prepare for economic hardships. Others enjoy living off the land and watching things grow as they plant, harvest, and then preserve their foods. Whatever your reasons for considering it or learning more about it, one thing's for sure, you've just made a great decision. Homesteading is a humbling experience, an eye-opener to how simple life can be and how small you are within the rest of the world. Off the grid. To quickly explain an off-the-grid lifestyle, it's essential to define a couple of terms. The grid is a term used to refer to the network of utilities and amenities provided to people by municipalities, including electricity, water, and sewage. The term is sometimes expanded to include other services, such as garbage pickup and groceries, though these are not strictly included. Going off the grid refers to a lifestyle choice where a person sets up their property to take care of their needs, usually, but not always, in a remote or rural area. People who choose an off-grid lifestyle find ways to produce their amenities for themselves, such as using wells, solar power, or propane heaters. Many people who live off the grid also produce some or all of their food on-site by gardening, raising livestock, hunting, trapping, fishing, or foraging. People who live off the grid may also choose to homeschool their children, take household repairs into their own hands, and generally live off the land in a self-sufficient manner. Zero waste sustainability. Zero waste is a philosophy of resource management that strives to close the loop by preventing waste from ever occurring or recapturing and using any waste that does occur. Zero waste is one approach to sustainable living. Zero wasters generally extend their philosophy beyond trash disposal and take steps to reduce consumption and reuse, i.e., upcycling and recycle. Zero waste living is all about being resourceful and reducing waste while also feeling good about what you have. You don't need to give up nearly as much stuff to live better and reduce your footprint on the earth. By learning how to live a zero waste lifestyle, you can create less trash and help keep landfill sites from filling up with your garbage. Composting is a natural way to recycle organic matter. Kitchen scraps, leaves, and grass clippings are compostable material that you can turn into extremely valuable organic fertilizers. Anything that grows in the natural world ends up decomposing. Composting your kitchen scraps speeds up the process by creating the ideal conditions and environment for beneficial bacteria, fungi, and insects to do their essential work. What starts as a pile of funky old food can be blended with other organic matter to eventually produce rich and fertile garden soil. Self-sufficiency. Self-sufficiency is defined as the capability to provide for oneself without any additional help from others. Self-sufficiency requires a combination of knowledge, skill, and experience. It incorporates growing one's food and meeting other needs such as clothing and shelter. Self-sufficiency is not only the ability to feed oneself by hunting or gathering wild foods. Self-sufficiency is not necessarily the ability to live without a doctor or dentist. It's simply being able to provide for oneself with what one has, and it means that people can live a good life doing what our ancestors used to do with little modern-day resources. History of homesteading. The Homestead Act enabled anyone who had never used arms against the U.S. government to apply for 160 acres of land outside the original 13 states. There were a few requirements, including the requirement that the candidate improve the land and worked it for a minimum of 5 years. If a candidate met all the requirements, they got the land for free. The term homestead refers to an indefinite stretch of land or a tract somebody took ownership of through the Homestead Act. The Federal Land Policy and Management Act eliminated homestead rights in 1976 for most of the United States, with the exemption of Alaska. This still made it possible for people to look for and acquire as much as 80 acres of land for lease or purchase. Alaska eventually stopped offering land also, in addition to the fact that no individual actually could secure free land because of the passing of the Federal Land Policy and Management Act of 1976. This act stated that federal land should remain under national ownership, although people were still allowed to homestead until the late 80s as the government gave a 10-year extension to homesteaders. Today, homesteading indicates any residence that practices the same precise capabilities situated on those very early homesteads. These include, but are not limited to, increasing food, maintaining animals, canning, processing, or drying out animal hide, which helps create leather or preserves meat, keeping food, developing fundamental furnishings as similar clothing in your home. Benefits to the earth. The natural living lifestyle is a very earth-friendly way of life. The homesteading activities that are part of the lifestyle help promote recycling and living green. One way to reduce your carbon footprint in the world is to reduce your carbon dioxide emissions. The natural living lifestyle can help you do this by reducing your use of gasoline-powered vehicles, improving energy efficiency, and using energy-saving devices such as solar panels and wind turbines. Homesteading is beneficial to the environment because it is low impact. This lifestyle preserves the environment while requiring only a tiny amount of resources and space. The general goal of homesteading is to live as close to nature as possible. Since homesteaders work together and often grow their food supplies, they reduce their need for the resources needed for production. For example, you can reduce meat consumption since it is unnecessary to purchase meat from mass-processed industrial farms to obtain the necessary protein for survival. Farm waste can also be composted and returned to the soil as fertilizer. Additionally, pesticides and chemical fertilizers can be removed, as they're usually not used to grow and raise food crops. There's an emphasis on conserving resources and energy throughout this lifestyle. These resources conserve materials while preserving energy. Learn how to save money and energy in your household by making small changes in your daily life. Homesteading also promotes a lifestyle where people respect the world around them. They usually work with their surrounding farmland, sheltering their homes from urban influences such as noise and air pollution. Homesteaders tend to live more sustainably by purchasing items such as solar panels, geothermal systems, and biomass or biofuel converters that do not require fossil fuels. Homesteaders can gain knowledge and experience while living efficiently and effectively with minimal impact on the environment, which is important for maintaining the world's ecology. This way of life consolidates resources into one place rather than distributing them between many resources. In this way, homesteaders can reduce their energy expenditures as well as lower reliance on traditional utility systems such as electricity and water. These steps could help to slow down global warming and save our planet. Homesteaders can enjoy life more in the countryside since they're not confined to the city. They can live far away from civilization, which allows for their independence. This will help them promote a lifestyle where people respect the world around them. Homesteaders primarily work with their surrounding farmland, sheltering their homesteads from urban influences such as noise or air pollution. There are many benefits to homesteading, and as we discussed, one such benefit is a reduction in global warming. If we want to live sustainably, and we aim to do so, living in a way that limits our needs allows nature to thrive. We can live better and more sustainable lives by choosing this lifestyle. Not only will you have the peace of mind knowing your family has everything they need, but you'll be able to live independently, which will also help reduce the harm you do on the earth. How it works? This is just a quick summary of how homesteading works. You'll get a more in-depth discussion as we go further. 1. Know what you need. Before making any commitment, you should spend time understanding homesteading. Consider what your daily activities and responsibilities will be like if you opt to homestead. Taking care of crops and livestock takes time and effort, and not everyone is made out for it. If you have a spouse or partner, be sure they're 100% on board and that homesteading is the life you both want. You'll need to sit down and talk about what you want. For example, if your companion despises getting dirty, then homesteading will be difficult for you. Don't make huge homesteading decisions without all the information necessary. 2. Your budget. A well-planned budget is essential for homesteading, especially if you plan to quit working to become self-sufficient. It's crucial not to spend all your savings on land and property, because you won't have enough money for renovations, upgrades, equipment, or other necessities. You'll also need reserves in case of an emergency, such as a furnace breakdown or a family member's illness. It's smart to have different homestead revenue streams. You can sell wool, milk, surplus produce, soap, and other crafts. 3. What do you want to gain? Sustainable living is still possible without selling everything and moving to the country. You can grow your food, raise hens, and learn to can, even in the city. All you need to do is sit down and set goals. Ask yourself, do you want to cut your carbon impact by a specific percentage? Do you want to live off-grid, somewhat off-grid, or entirely off-grid? Do you want to raise livestock, plant trees, or do other things that take up more space? Know what you want to gain from homesteading and keep it in mind. Evaluate your property. If you want to make homesteading your full-time job and way of life, you'll need a lot of area for a huge garden, as well as room for livestock like cows, lambs, or whatever you like. You'll also need to choose parameters for the approximate area you want to live in. Do you want to live in a distant area or near a town? Look for land that is ideal for your homesteading lifestyle. Crops will not grow well in sandy or rocky ground. In the event of an emergency, are you happy with it taking an hour for an ambulance or police to arrive? You may find yourself driving to the post office once a week or walking to your mailbox daily. Avoid taking on too much. You don't need 100 acres or even 10 to build your dream homestead. 5 acres or even 2 acres is generally plenty for a single family. Anything greater would be challenging to maintain. 5. Test the waters. It's never too early to start planning your dream home. But you can also begin homesteading right now. Homesteading is a way of life, not just a place to live. Homesteading is about doing what feels good. You can set priorities and do things in whatever order that makes sense to you. For those who seek self-sufficiency in electricity, having solar panels installed as soon as possible may be a top priority. Others may not mind paying for gas and electricity, but ethical grounds may drive some people never to raise livestock for egg or meat production. 6. Branch out. Homesteading is typically linked with introverts. In reality, many homesteaders are friendly and ready to share their knowledge with others. It can be beneficial to have a homesteading friend who's more knowledgeable than you are at any point in the process, because they've likely gone through it all themselves. They'll be able to provide you with more important knowledge about the weather, growth conditions, rules, and more. When everyone tells you that you're impractical, having a friend who shares your values is invaluable. Getting to know other homesteaders is a good idea from a material point of view, too. Suppose you've grown too many peppers and your friend has too many eggs. It's easy to trade for what you want. You may even make long-term trades with other homesteaders for food and commodities you don't wish to produce yourself. Pros and cons. Homesteading may be the best thing you ever do, but there are some advantages and disadvantages to be aware of. However, it'd be a stretch to say that everyone is suited to this lifestyle. The truth is that it might not be the best choice for you. High expectations, a lack of resources, and a general sense of being overwhelmed are all reasons why many individuals fail at homesteading. On the other hand, many people do well because of good planning, taking things one day at a time, and resourcefulness. So, before you commit to it, have a look at this list of benefits and drawbacks. It should assist you in determining whether or not this is for you. Benefits. Flexible starting point. Getting started on homesteading doesn't require acres of land. If you have limited room, start with herbs on a sunny windowsill or a food garden in the backyard. Compost your food leftovers to generate soil for your garden. Start small and work with what you have. You may learn more methods over time, or you may fall in love with the idea of self-sufficiency and decide to move to a farmhouse and property. Maintenance-free lifestyle. Many homesteaders can enjoy a maintenance-free lifestyle without the use of gas, electricity, or other resources. There's no end to how self-sufficient you can become through homesteading. It's possible to grow your food, make your own clothing, and even generate your own power using sun, wind, or water. Other homesteaders have chosen to live in urban areas such as a town or city because of the convenience of living in a home with minimal upkeep. Sustainable living. Homesteading offers an environmentally friendly way of living. The majority of homesteaders purchase recycled products made without using toxic chemicals. Those who want to reduce their carbon footprint may choose to plant their own crops and buy only organic or recycled products. Sustainable living does not mean that you can never find yourself using gasoline or other fossil fuels. Many homesteaders still use natural gas, propane, and electricity for their lifestyle. Health benefits. Homesteading can allow you a breath of fresh air, literally. Fresh air purifies not only the lungs, but also the psyche. Taking a walk will enable you to experience the natural world in a way that you can't in a busy urban environment. Reduced levels of toxic waste in the air will enable it to better absorb the nutrients in the environment around you. One of the most important benefits of living on a homestead is that homesteaders enjoy a healthier lifestyle because they can live off the land and make their own food rather than rely on fast food restaurants or other sources of processed foods. It's also important because it gives them control over their food. Although it may not be as convenient or fast as using your microwave or stove, it is healthier and more beneficial for you in the long run. A lot more people are using wood fires as an alternative. alternative way to heat their homes and cook their food. And not only is it cheaper, but it's also better for the environment. Other benefits include homesteading is beneficial to the environment because it promotes a lifestyle where people respect the world around them. Homesteaders work with their surrounding farmland, sheltering their homestead from urban influences such as noise or air pollution. Homesteaders can also live more sustainably by purchasing items such as solar panels and renewable energy systems that do not require the use of fossil fuels. They can also gain knowledge and experience in how to live efficiently and effectively with minimal impact on the environment, which is important for maintaining the world's ecology. This practice is beneficial to the environment because it consolidates resources into one place rather than distributing them throughout many sources. In this way, homesteaders sometimes reduce their energy expenditures. By lowering their reliance on traditional utility systems, such as electricity and natural gas pipelines, homesteaders could help to slow down global warming. Disadvantages? Homesteading can be difficult if your dream is to live in a house that runs solely off renewable energy. It can put a financial strain on people who have chosen not to have any employment or income source. In addition, homesteaders are also impacted by the weather. If there's a harsh storm, power loss is common during a storm. Living off-grid can help you minimize such problems. However, problems can still occur if transportation or communications systems fail during a storm. Homesteaders also have less access to large stores or malls than their non-homesteading neighbors. They may purchase foods from local farmers, reducing transportation costs. Since homesteaders don't have heat or air conditioning, they have other ways they stay cool or warm in more non-traditional ways. Forced air cooling is sometimes used to prevent mold growth on grain or feed. Passive airflow can reduce temperatures inside buildings without using electricity or fossil fuels. Solar heat collection systems store the sun's energy for later use. Is homesteading for me? To answer whether homesteading is right for you, you first need to decide what it is that you want out of life. Do you want to become a self-sufficient farmer and grow all your own food? Or do you want to live a simpler life without having any ties to the modern technology that we're used to today? Do you want to live in the city or the country? Do you want to own land and build your own house or rent an apartment? If you're thinking about moving off-grid as a family, then there are some things that you should take into consideration before making any decisions. One of the biggest issues with families moving off-grid is that it's difficult to find a good job in most areas. Of course, your children will be able to receive good education at home, and you could homeschool them, but what about the rest of their lives? If you move off-grid and then decide that it wasn't for you after all, how will your children continue with their education? Another problem that some families have found when living off-grid is space. If you live in an area where you're unable to grow most of your food, then this means that you'll need to go into town and buy more food every year. In addition, you may need to go into town every month or so to get some of the items you need. This can be time-consuming and costly as you pay several dollars a day for items you need. Depending on your current situation, it may be difficult to move off-grid. If you live in an apartment or do not own land, it would be very hard to move into a homestead. Some people have also found that they need help when they first move into their homes. This can result in loneliness and depression for some if they cannot locate neighbors who are willing to help them out when needed. Additionally, the cost of moving off-grid can be pretty high if you have kids, as was mentioned above. Some families have found that they can move off-grid with a couple of kids. However, as the family size increases, it will become more and more difficult to do so because of the cost and increased need for food and resources, especially when their families are young. What if you could move off-grid with a large family? Would you do it then? If you plan to move yourself and your family off-grid, you must be committed. If you don't have a plan for what will happen when you get there and decide to stop living there, it will be difficult for all of you, whether the children are young or not. Here are a few great places you might want to move to in case you find yourself determined to commit to the lifestyle. 1. Iowa. For a self-sufficient homestead, Iowa's agricultural land is ideal. Many of your neighbors will be raising their own food, meaning you'll have a lot of company. Iowa has a low cost of living, but for those who want a more cultural experience, the state is largely flat and dull. The winters are the harshest in the USA, and the state taxes might be fairly costly, depending on your income. 2. Arkansas. Arkansas has a low cost of living and still has affordable land. However, the land is scarce due to massive agricultural operations occupying most of it already. The state is ideal for those who love isolation. To get active in local communities, you may be angered by issues like violence, poverty, and bad schools. 3. Oregon. Oregon has one of the highest costs of living and average property values in the country. Despite this, Oregon farmland is still quite affordable. Oregon has a significant homesteading culture and over 30,000 small farms. There are several options to help with your homestead, such as farmers markets, free farmer education, and grant programs. In the end, you need to decide what you want from the lifestyle you'll have. Otherwise, you won't be able to move to and stay in an area where you'll be happy. You should also consider what I mentioned above when making your decision. If homesteading is right for you, I would highly recommend that your family move off-grid as soon as possible and carefully plan how things will work out when they get there. No one said that homesteading was going to be easy. It's not something that everyone can do, but it is possible for those willing to work. It's a way of life, and it doesn't come without its difficulties and challenges. However, with the right amount of preparation and education, homesteading will be beneficial and fun. Homesteading takes planning and careful budgeting to succeed, and you can even make some income while living the kind of life you want. This chapter oversees the principles of planning and budgeting because some tasks take seconds to accomplish, while others might take hours of your time. As for skill levels, you'll need to plan for the different skills required for your homesteading activities. You can learn many of these skills from books, but others require more hands-on instruction from an experienced individual. How to budget your time. Start by listing what you need to do. Bracket the more time-consuming tasks. Factor in how long these tasks will take versus how much work they'll get you. Consider which task is best suited for which skill set: carpentry, gathering scraps, animal handling, etc. Do whatever task you believe is easiest based on your skill set. This will not only make any skills you had before homesteading much more self-sufficient, but it helps you spot which skill sets need attention and which skill sets need to be honed. An example of this would be starting your garden from scratch. If you have the skills necessary to start a successful garden, you can fully understand how much time you'll need to invest and how much food you'll be able to produce versus how much it costs. In addition to skill development, budgeting is a crucial practice for homesteading. Money management is probably one of the most important things in homesteading that no one ever talks about. It all boils down to one simple thing: how much money you'll need to spend on groceries each month, and where the money will come from each month. The importance of budgeting cannot be stressed enough. If you don't plan out how much money you'll spend each month on groceries, you're going to end up going over budget with no way to compensate for your purchases. Planning for homesteading. 1. Using what you have, your backyard. Often people get caught up in the idea that they need every little tool or gadget for every single thing they plan on doing. This isn't true at all, and is especially untrue for homesteading. Using what you already have is a great way to save money and a great way to make something out of nothing. However, this will only work if you plan your entire homestead around this concept. Rather than buying every new gadget or tool that comes out on the market, here are a few ideas to think about. Use what you already have and what's just lying around outside. Gather up anything you could use in some form or fashion, like wood pallets or milk crates. If you need a wheelbarrow, try making one with an old tire and some scrap wood. If your garden needs some support, use your experience to guide you in making homemade stakes or trellises. Upcycling or reusing materials such as old clothes or broken toys and turning them into useful household items. If you need a 6-inch gap between two signs on your fence, try cutting the top and bottom off an old plastic flower pot. Using garden boxes is one effective way to get more food out of the ground. If you have everything you need right outside your door, then why spend money on something you can make yourself? Not only do you not have to spend your money, it can be fun to put together weird gadgets like this. I'll give you a few examples of things that you can make very inexpensively out of just about anything lying around in your yard. You're using things you have in creating your backyard homestead. Pretty cool, huh? I emphasize using what you have, because certain items aren't really homestead related in the same way that things like a garden or soil are. The rule we try to adhere to is this: if it's not food, then it's junk. You can save time and money if you look around your house, backyard, or even in the garbage. We got about half the things we have on this homestead for free by simply asking around and looking in people's trash cans. Many people would be thrilled with someone coming to their house and taking some of their junk away rather than having to load it up at the dump themselves. Don't throw anything away ever. Even if you do plan to buy something new that is exactly like what you want, don't get rid of the old one until you've tried using it for something else first. You may find that a nail gun or even duct tape is all you need to repair your broken objects rather than going out and buying something new. Using what you already have to save money while homesteading doesn't stop at just junk either. It can also include extra rooms in your house. After all, it's just making do with what you have and making things out of nothing. Using what you have, not buying new things, is an idea that is rich with potential and creativity. It's also very fun to see things that usually go to waste being put to use for your benefit in a creative way. This is a way of thinking that can save you a lot of money and potentially teach you some DIY skills along the way. Try it out and see how many things around your home, yard, or outside you can find a use for instead of tossing them in the trash. Whenever you buy a house and the previous owners have left a little bit of overgrown yard, you should always ask the previous owners what kind of plants were in their garden boxes. If they tell you, all you need to do is walk into a store and buy enough lumber to build the garden boxes. If for some reason they don't know what was in their garden boxes, then walk over to your yard or your neighbor's yard and start looking around. There's no way that big box of dirt didn't come from somewhere. Dig up one of these large pots and take it inside so you can analyze it for clues about how it was constructed. Once you find all the clues and have figured out how to make your own, go and build as many of these garden boxes as you can. How to build a garden box in 3 steps. Choose how big you want it to be. You can have a 16 by 16 by 8 or a full-sized 8 by 8 by 4. Set the corner posts on top of the wallboards. Drill pilot holes and connect all the sides with screws to form a box. If you need to put a bottom to it, drill holes underneath so the excess water drips out when you water your plants. Some people even make multiple levels with their boxes for a larger harvest, and you can too, as long as you add a bottom to it, that is. It's all up to you and how many boxes you want to build. These garden boxes will cost you almost nothing. Once you have the materials, all you need to pay for is the lumber, and it won't be time to build them. This is an amazing way to grow more food at a much lower cost than buying retail produce. You can also store your excess harvest in these garden boxes when you aren't actively growing your plants, which will come in handy during certain times of the year. 2. Homesteading from a rental property. Renters have significant obstacles that property owners do not. Despite these obstacles, they still have the potential to redefine what it means to make the best of your position and learn a lot along the way. Two core tenets of self-sufficiency. Working with what you have is practical, and interpersonal sensitivity and doing root-level tasks like vegetable gardening or home improvement work in impermanent surroundings are the key to homesteading for renters. If you don't own your home, your homesteading ability will be mainly determined by the type of lease you have with your landlord. They may be happy to let you build a greenhouse and even plant fruit trees on the property. On the other hand, they may have no desire to have a homesteader in their midst and forbid such activities. If you are allowed to garden and have some growing space, then that can work out nicely. You'll get fresh produce for yourself and save money on groceries. If your landlord does not want this, or if there isn't space for it, try container gardening on any porch or balcony space you may have access to. You can ask the landlord to pay for a 4-inch potted plant, which is relatively inexpensive, in a large pot with soil and water. Once the plant is established, you can plant several other small plants in similar containers throughout your house. This will allow you to have fresh herbs in different areas of your home without needing any actual growing space. If you instead choose container gardening, then a balcony or porch can be the perfect area for this activity. The key here is understanding what your landlord will allow. Some of these things may be illegal or simply something that won't work out well. This will limit your choices. 3. Apartment homesteading. If you live in an apartment, it's unlikely that space is your only issue. You'll also likely to run into problems with ventilation and lighting. And if you don't have any outdoor space, your problems will be amplified. There are still options, however. You will need to get creative. Types of apartment in the U.S. A. Compact. Compact apartments don't have too much space, especially space you can waste. Your best bet is to grow indoors using grow lights or a hydroponic pond. You can buy kits for these, so don't panic if that idea is new to you. A studio apartment has a kitchen and a full bathroom. Alcove studio, a regular studio with an L-shaped living room partition. This gives the illusion of more space and is ideal for a sleeping area. Convertible studio, a studio large enough to build a wall to create a bedroom. Convertible flex, an apartment with enough space for an extra bedroom. Loft, a large, high-ceiling room. These are usually found in commercial buildings that have been converted to apartments. B, extra room. These apartments grant you a bit more space than the compacts. You can maximize this added space by planting crops with similar requirements in one pot. For example, in a pot where a tomato plant is a feature, you can plant sun-loving herbs like basil around it. You can use trellises to train plants to climb upward. And also, you can use twine to encourage vining plants to climb walls. Duplex or triplex? Two- or three-story apartments. The second or third floor is only for sleeping. Junior one bedroom. This is a step up from a studio and usually includes a separate sleeping room or three-fourths of a room. C. Expansion pack. If you live in any of these places, you have a bit more leeway in terms of space. Forget about the amount of floor space you have and instead, think vertically. Vertical gardening is perfect for small spaces. You can fit more in, and plants will climb upward to reach the light, rather than sprawling across the balcony or making a bid for freedom over the railings. Garden apartment. A garden apartment has a backyard and is usually on the ground floor, but can also be in the basement. Railroad apartments. These are named for their straight floor plan and are mostly found in older buildings. A long and thin rectangle connects three or four rooms without a hallway. Bedrooms can be side or central. A floor-through apartment extends the entire length of a building. If you have a balcony, the corner of a communal courtyard can vastly open up your options. The trick is to be creative. Find a pot and think up. The rooftop up top. Whether you live in an apartment or a house without a yard, you may be able to consider your rooftop as a gardening space. When possible, a rooftop makes a great space for a garden, and you get some added energy-saving advantages, too. Your plants will produce you with both shade and insulation, enabling you to reduce your air conditioning and central heating system expenses. I'd recommend getting your building checked by a structural engineer first to ensure your roof can support a garden. Again, you'll most likely be using containers, so make sure they're light enough for your roof to take. However, if you have a larger flat roof space and fancy a more ambitious project, you could create a green roof. This entails covering the whole space with impervious membrane, then soil, and turning it into a complete garden. The soil will then need to be layered with gravel and a filtering mat, followed by a lightweight compost for growing in. The whole structure will need to provide a secure growing environment for your plants, but it must also be in line with your roof's weight capacity. Although self-sufficiency is your goal, I'd recommend bringing in professionals to set up this kind of space, as a garden that negatively impacts your building is the last thing you want. 4. Homesteading in the suburbs. A suburban backyard or a backyard in the city can either be a substantial space or a tiny one. You may still be limited to container gardening if your space is very small, but it may be that you can turn an area of your yard to vegetable gardening or install a few raised beds. If you have room for raised beds and wants to maximize capacity, I'd recommend looking into Mel Bartholomew's square foot gardening model or lasagna gardening designed by Patricia Lanza. The former relies on compacted planting in a 4x4 raised bed. The latter involves building your growing space in layers that break down over time to fertilize the soil. In either case, you can look into container gardening, including rooftop and vertical gardens. If you're interested in a more rustic approach to urban homesteading that's still largely DIY, a creek bed or roadside ditch may be worth investigating, as you can dig down for planting. If you're interested in working with your neighbors, you can create a community gardening project that you all share. If you have enough room for a courtyard garden, it can also be worth exploring. If your yard's small, consider organic and raised bed gardening. This can involve container gardening with potted plants and planting in your yard. It also features permaculture, a design method for sustainable human interaction with the environment. Defining your homesteading goals. In setting your goals, it's important to make sure those goals are realistic but challenging. You don't want to set a goal that's so easy you can accomplish it right away. If you do this, you may get bored or frustrated and lose interest. At the same time, you don't want to set goals that are too hard for you. This will make the process frustrating and discouraging. When creating your list of homesteading goals, here are some things that may be worth including. End goals. This is where your homestead is at the end of everything. If you've been working on your property all along, where are you at? What do you want to achieve? And why have you decided on this goal? Long-term goals. This is what your homestead will look like in the future. How much more can you grow? How do you want the land to be used by its inhabitants? Do you want it to be a place where people vacation, grow food, or raise animals? Or do you have another specific goal in mind that isn't shared by everybody else, such as growing coffee? Short-term goals. These are things that can help push your long-term goals if things aren't going well. Homesteading is a mentality. Homesteading is how you approach life each and every day. You'll seek to become more of a participant in what you eat, how you live, and how your presence impacts the earth. This mindset means working to rely more on yourself than others, which is a key factor for success. You must focus on figuring out ways to approach problems and opportunities on your homestead and in life. This is the ability to adapt and shift gears, because these don't always go as planned, and they don't necessarily have to. There will be times when your budget is crushed, livestock dies, and don't even get me started on climate change and its many impacts on farm practices. Your job is to learn how to bounce back from these challenges, and you cannot achieve success by staying down. Just because things don't go according to plan doesn't mean you'll never succeed. While we like the simple things in life and enjoy going easy, this is not always guaranteed. Given a choice between an easy path to an average life and a more rigorous path to our deepest desires and ultimate happiness, most people will choose the easy path. In other words, people like living on fast foods and will often choose to curl up on their couch to binge Netflix instead of taking a walk to enjoy nature. We have forgotten how to do simple things, and it's such a shame. The good news is that you don't have to live that way. The fact that you're reading this book means you're interested in homesteading. You're ready to start on a more rigorous path to self-sufficiency. Before you can become a homesteader, you must spend some time cultivating your mindset, learning how to do without certain things you might want, like easy access to the internet, fast foods, or even instant entertainment. You must learn to enjoy sitting outdoors to watch the sunset, stare up at the stars at night, or sit by the fireplace on cold nights. When you do these simple things, certain elements in your life begin to change, and you get a dopamine effect of happiness. Perhaps you're thinking, how can I cultivate a homesteading mindset? There's power in simplicity. Remember, the goal here is to be self-sufficient. If you spend too much time trying to make things pretty, the chances are you'll not focus on functional things that will further this goal. Your aim is not to have your homestead featured in Better Homesteads and Gardens magazine, although that's not such a bad thing. Putting too much pressure on yourself to achieve perfection will leave you frustrated and overwhelmed. Let go of any attachments to things that look neat and together so that you can achieve more with homesteading. Remember, the whole point of becoming a homesteader is to be self-sufficient. You want everything around your homestead to be neatly organized without scratching your head about it. You want to provide for the needs of your family from your garden. Set realistic goals. Are you already homesteading? How's it going? Do you feel overwhelmed and frustrated? Chances are you're taking on more than you can reasonably handle. The key to cultivating a homesteading mindset is setting your sights on solid goals every season, rather than stretching your efforts too thin. Get a book to document all your projects 1 week at a time, rather than biting off more than you can chew. For instance, week one, determining which animals I can raise. Week two, designing a farmhouse. Ask yourself, am I cut out to be a homesteader? Take time to think hard about starting a homesteading project before deciding to embark on it. You must be ready to put in long hours of tough physical labor. Those who grew up in modern family settings are likely to find that this is a big step to take, and it will take time to adjust, but you will eventually get the hang of it and love it. It will be painful and uncomfortable, but the sheer joy of feeding the family and the future is rewarding. Planning better. What is your plan for your homestead? How well is your plan going? When you shift your mindset, you have to revise your plan into something that works. One of the mistakes we make is setting unrealistic goals. To get good results, you must first consider what you already have. Even on a tight budget, you can look for different ways to cut your expenditure. Take inventory of the cattle you rear in your homestead, how much it costs to maintain them, and how much money you make from the milk it gives. If the numbers don't make sense, then cut down and try one. Constantly remind yourself that nothing is cast in stone. What are we saying? Before setting any goals for your homestead, you need to consider your desired outcome. Do you want to be entirely self-sufficient? This would be the stereotypical image of a large homestead with solar panels and homemade food for every meal, possibly a water source or two on the property. Would you rather live with a mindset toward self-sufficiency whenever possible? This involves reusing and repurposing items. Are you striving for a better quality of life that you can achieve through homesteading? This idea is promoted because of the fresher, healthier food and time spent working hard outdoors, among other things. Is it all a hope to teach your kids more responsibility? After all, the work never ends. Your homesteading goals can be even simpler. Maybe you want to raise some chickens and sell the eggs. It might be your passion to raise goats and make goat milk soap for small businesses. You might want to enjoy fresh food from your home garden, eggs from the hens, or meat from your livestock. Each of these goals has different needs attached to it and will create different demands of your homestead space. Whatever your goals or outcome, remember that these are personal to you, your setup, and your homestead. If you don't have the space for full self-sufficiency or have no interest in it, don't feel pressured to follow that path. Raising sheep to make homemade wool is all well and good, but if you have a wool allergy, that would not be part of your plan. Don't let someone else's idea of homesteading fit into your goals. If you want to start with a simpler goal, such as growing herbs in a small garden plot or window box for a full 6 months, that is perfectly fine and completely acceptable. Any goal you set should be specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound. In other words, a goal to become self-sustainable is more of a dream than a goal. You'd better phrase it as wanting to become self-sustainable within a set number of years. Even better would be starting with small goals to get to that step. If you want to raise chickens for eggs and meat, you need to research chicken care and the laws in your area to determine how many birds, if any, you're allowed to have. This can lead to the specific, time-bound, attainable goal of, for example, wanting to have space set up for 6 baby chicks over the next 3 months. Some basic goals that beginner homesteaders can set might be designed to lay the groundwork for their homestead. After all, deciding to create it involves many smaller steps, and jumping into the deep, metaphorical end will not succeed. A new homesteader might decide to learn how to cook from scratch with a smaller goal of cooking a full meal twice a week for a full year. Making your own household products can be another goal towards self-sufficiency. These can be anything from reusing old containers for storage to DIY beauty or cleaning products. Setting goals as a homesteader can seem overwhelming if you try to achieve everything at once. It's better to find a few small goals to start with and sort of ease yourself into a self-sustainable lifestyle. Learning how to sew or finding out how your neighbor raises their chickens can be a small, easy first step to move you ever closer to your homesteading dreams. Consider the lifestyle changes that you'll have to make. Homesteaders have to make several lifestyle changes that may be challenging at first. It's necessary to know what these changes are and prepare for them. The priority of things in your life will change when you decide to be a homesteader. When homesteading, your family, animals, and plants will take precedence over everything else. Your time will also change. You'll need to give more time to your garden and animals for feeding, watering, and taking care of them. You may have to sacrifice some things. When you choose to homestead as a lifestyle, you might have to sacrifice some modern conveniences that you're accustomed to having. You'll have less of a social life than perhaps you're used to, because there's so much work involved there that it keeps you busy all the time. Requires time and patience. It's important to give homesteading a try, but it's also necessary to recognize that it takes time, patience, and a lot of hard work. You'll have to do several things when homesteading that you don't do regularly. You'll have to make lifestyle changes, change how you think about your family's food needs, and how much time you spend with your family. This is about making sacrifices for your family's future. Enjoyable. While it's true that homesteading takes a lot of work, it can also be a relaxing and enjoyable experience. Once you know how to live with nature rather than fighting against it, you will be healthier because of it. If you decide to become a homesteader, you won't have to worry about feeding your family fast food all the time because homemade, home-cooked meals will be the norm for you. When your family has vegetables, fruit, and foods raised without the use of chemicals or hormones, they will be much healthier. You'll have fresh air and plenty of sunshine in your life when you live on your piece of land. This is a simple lifestyle that you can enjoy if you're willing to accept all of its challenges. Affordable. You may be shocked at how much it costs. Most people think that homesteading requires a lot of money, but this isn't true. It's possible to get started on a very limited budget. You can save up your money and start small, so you're not overwhelmed by the cost of building from scratch. It's possible to make homesteading pay for itself. There are ways to homestead so you can make money for your time spent. You can sell what you produce and can even consider selling your skills. For example, you could give lessons on self-defense to women or small children, or you could offer a gardening class for a local greenhouse. If you're willing to think outside of the box, there are plenty of ways that you can have a successful homestead and also earn some extra money doing it. It may take up to 2 years to get started. Suppose you decide to get started with either basic or intensive homesteading. In that case, it'll take up to 2 years before you're producing enough food and income for yourself and your family. If you want to live off-grid, it will take much longer. You'll have to be patient and get ready to learn some new skills while you wait for your homestead to produce income or food. While homesteading can be more work than it's worth, once you get started, you might find that it's enjoyable. It can be a rewarding and healthy lifestyle if you're willing to make some sacrifices for your family's future. When your family lives the simple life of a homesteader, they'll have less stress in their lives and they'll be healthier because of it. Checking with the law. Your homesteading efforts must be aligned with your state or area laws to avoid running into trouble with the police or animal rights organizations. Before we get going, a word of warning. Sometimes the drawback of living in a densely populated area is that laws restrict what you can do. Before you start planning any gardening venture, however small, it's worth checking with your local authority to ensure there are no laws you need to be aware of. Sometimes there are rules about how to water your garden, and you may also run up against laws around composting and the maximum height of plants. The Homestead Act of 1862 expanded the Limited Preemption Act of 1841, which were both efforts by Abraham Lincoln to encourage westward migration and settlement. It was signed into law by President Lincoln on May 20, 1862. The original act allowed settlers to purchase 160 acres, one section of land, after they had lived on it for 5 years, which was later expanded in 1872 to 320 acres, two sections, or one quarter square mile. The size of allotments was doubled under the Homestead Act of 1976. Fewer than 1% of homesteaders submitted applications for free lands before 1900, but more than 98 were successful in negotiations with the government. Since 1910, the acreage offering has remained under 300 acres. A total of 780 acres has been offered to a single applicant. An act of Congress in 1936 allowed families to get partial credit for expenses that were already paid for a farm that had been used as collateral against mortgages at banks or credit companies. This law opened up homesteads to many who otherwise would not have purchased them. Make a homestead declaration. In times of economic trouble, a declaration of homestead is a simple legal document that can assist in protecting your home or property. It has nothing to do with the procedure for submitting a claim for unclaimed government assets. Rather, it's a simple form that can occasionally prevent creditors from seizing your land and home. homestead rights are not recognized by common law in Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Illinois, Kansas, Louisiana, Michigan, Minnesota, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, North Carolina, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, South Dakota, Texas, Vermont, Washington, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. If you own property in one of these states and live there, you should spend the hour or two it takes to submit this final vital document. The cost is little, the forms are simple to complete, typically accessible at stationery stores, and no lawyer is required. The objective of homestead statutes varies from state to state, but they always have the same goal. They're intended to protect family dwellings from being taken away in the event of financial hardship or the death of the household's head. In general, this protection is only accessible if the declaration is lodged before a disaster occurs. A judicial verdict stemming from business losses, traffic accidents, or unexpectedly inherited debts may, of course, wipe out a family's savings. However, the safeguards given by homestead statutes would protect their home and land up to the amount of exemption allowed by their state. Furthermore, some debts must be paid whether or not you have a declaration of homestead. For example, if you put your home up as collateral on a loan, the homestead exemption does not apply. Property taxes and special assessments are examples of debts that are not covered. If you don't pay someone you hired to perform renovations on your house or land, he or she might file a mechanics lien against your property and sell it to recover the money. Although the cash value of the homestead exemptions varies, in most places it is updated to keep up with inflation regularly. As a result, as the price of real estate grows, homeowners should continue to encourage their politicians to enhance these exemptions. Fortunately, homestead laws are frequently liberally construed in legal terms. A homestead can be an apartment if you own it, a house, a hut, or even a tent, as long as it is the claimant's bona fide habitation. You might be able to homestead your future home site even if you haven't constructed a house yet. A 161-acre Texas tract was declared a homestead after the insolvent owner demonstrated construction plans by drilling two wells and planting fruit trees. I'm guessing the landowner was camped out on the property to meet the residency requirements. However, each family is only allowed one homestead and must prove good faith in their claim. Summer vacation cabins, for example, have been taken away for debt collection, even though declarations had been filed and accepted. Outbuildings and land used by the family for recreation or as a source of income are usually considered part of the homestead. However, unless they're gardened, logged, or farmed, adjacent lots or parcels next to a residence maintained for idle investment purposes may not qualify. Homestead exemptions often apply solely to married couples and their families. Some states offer a head of household exemption that applies to two or more people living together as a family unit if one person supports the others. The survivor and any offspring are covered under the exemption until the survivor dies and the youngest kid reaches the age of majority. The exemption will, of course, expire if you sell the property. Claims can be filed on many residences, but only one at a time. Alabama, Arkansas, California, Florida, Georgia, Iowa, Louisiana, Minnesota, Mississippi, Missouri, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Texas, West Virginia, and Wyoming have homestead property tax credits. Property owners can deduct a certain amount from their annual property tax assessments in these states. Suppose you're one of the fortunate people who live in a state that recognizes the declaration of homestead. In that case, you should contact your county clerk or recorder immediately to learn more about the process. The few bucks and time it takes to file the papers are well worth it. It's a simple step that could help you save money and even save your house. Budgeting. While most people fantasize that they can provide everything the family needs without spending a dime, that is not realistic. You must realize that you will have expenses that will cost money, especially during your transition to a self-sufficient homestead. The key is to evaluate how you wish to live. Ask yourself simple questions like, do I enjoy going out and partying? Do I travel a lot? If there are certain things you like doing, you'll need to budget for those extras because you may not be able to have an urban homestead and live some of those outside dreams. Perhaps you're thinking, I could just take a loan to cover these needs. The truth is that borrowing money goes against every principle of self-sufficiency. Homesteading aims at ultimately disengaging from the money economy while working as little as possible for the money. Instead of buying food from the grocery store, you can grow your food in your backyard and exchange it for such things as clothing and other necessities. You want to keep your expenses as low as possible. Realize that humor is everything. Laugh through the tough times. Don't think that you're superior to everyone else. Whenever things go wrong, try to get a new perspective. Please don't give up until you reach your goals, however long it takes. Think through your plan, adjust your goals and timelines, and start over if necessary. Everything can change, including your plan. The process doesn't have to be a pain. You want to enjoy every little bit of the process towards self-sufficiency. Even though urban homesteading is a lot of hard work, open your heart to it. Even if your early morning and late nights don't translate to the money in the bank, keep a new perspective. Take a walk in nature to help you shift your mindset. Realize that homestead projects never end. They are constant, and the to-do list will grow longer by the day. Taking mini vacations to express your gratitude to the universe for sunshine, family, and every little or big gift will help keep your heart open and remind you of your homestead abundance. Setting the wrong budget. There are some homesteaders who, in their excitement, may have miscalculated their homesteading budget. The common problems that could arise from setting the wrong budget include not being able to buy enough seeds during planting season, inability to cover expenses brought about by emergencies, e.g., human or livestock ailments, and machinery and equipment repairs. Running short on income, especially when you decided to quit your job when you moved. Budgeting ensures that you will be financially secure and free from debt, or at the very least have minimal debt, until you can entirely depend on your homestead. Since you'll be learning about income sources later on, what you need to initially do is create a monthly budget. A simple notebook and pen can be your tools, or you can use an Excel sheet, or go on the internet and look for apps that you can use to jumpstart your budget planning. Remember that every monthly budget should include the following: recurring bills, upcoming or irregular bills, e.g., quarterly or annual bills, seasonal or large purchases, loans, debt, mortgage, car payments, etc. Set up the spreadsheet or make a chart in a notebook. Some people use tables on a Word document. Next, add all the income streams and deduct the monthly bills. Be sure to indicate the due dates so that you'll not miss them. Be sure to set aside savings, even when you're still paying off some debts. Insert the formula on your Excel sheet or manually calculate the figures. Collect receipts so it'll be easier to compute your expenses. Never rely on your memory alone. It's better to keep records or take a photo using your phone camera each time you make a purchase. Record keeping is also not limited to accounting for your income and expenses. You can keep records of the crops you recently planted, livestock, harvested crops, and how much you could preserve. Think of running your homestead as you would a business. You need to be on top of it, no matter what. Never approach it as a mere hobby, because farming is a serious business. Every new project that is added is, in essence, an investment. Skill acquisition. Several skills may be listed here, And a long list can be overwhelming when you're just starting on your homestead. But not all of these are immediately, absolutely essential to your homestead. I'm aware that I'm not very effective when I'm overwhelmed. My objective is to make it as easy as possible for you to start homesteading, because homesteading is a fantastic technique to improve your lifestyle, and breaking down effective plans and goals into smaller parts is very helpful. If you haven't had experience being self-sufficient in the past, don't think you can't establish a homestead and provide your family with healthy, clean food and self-sufficiency. I looked at a few different lists of useful talents to master. While I agree with most of the items on most lists, you don't have to learn everything at once. I've chosen 6 categories that I believe will help you get off to a good start. Concentrate on these 6, or any few from a list, to help you feel in command. You'll need to learn how to cultivate plants, hunt, and harvest your food. You'll need to know how to find water and bait for fishing. You may even need to know how these techniques were performed in ancient times. You need to know how to build a shelter. You may need to know how to perform many other skills in a post-apocalyptic scenario. You'll need to find or create your fuel for cooking and heating. What about transportation? Do you have any mechanical skills or know how to repair machines? Are you good at making repairs and improvising? It takes a lot of hard work and planning, as well as plenty of common sense. The skills you need for successful backyard homesteading include, but are not limited to, construction skills. This is the skill of creating projects with your materials, usually with your own hands. If you want to build a chicken coop, you need construction skills. This is the skill of building and repairing things. This is not the place to learn how to build a house, but you should be familiar with basic carpentry and how to use simple hand tools. You'll need knowledge of constructing a shelter, like a shed or enclosure, or even basic cabins. You'll want to learn how to create a fence and gate for your animals and to keep yourself in. One of the most basic construction skills is knowing how to chop wood. While each homesteader has their taste on which type of axe they prefer, there are 2 basic types, 2-handed and 1-handed wood axes. Knowing how to use both will be necessary, and you'll also need to know how to maintain and store them. If you don't want to buy an axe, perhaps a chainsaw is the way to go. A chainsaw has many uses, but be warned, it can destroy your homestead. Chainsaws are noisy and dangerous with their high exposure to oil, carbon monoxide, and other gases, to name a few. If you buy a chainsaw or other tool requiring gasoline, you'll need storage for fuel. You'll need a bunker of some sort with a secure place for your fuel tank and other equipment. This can also be a place for your livestock to stay. The ability to build a fire on many different types of wood is important in homesteading. You'll need to find the correct type of wood for the job at hand and be able to make fires that burn efficiently and even make them look pretty. You'll have many uses for a natural gas stove, but first you need to learn how they work. You'll use many tools that everyone outside your family may not know about. A double-edged axe is one example of this category, and chainsaws and other specialized tools are used daily. Some of the other tools you'll find useful on the homestead are shovels and hoes. You'll need to learn how to use these tools effectively, or you could damage your landscape and plant life. Hand tools. Hand tools are used every day and in every environment, from warm to cold, humid to dry. The tool that is used the most often by far is a knife. You may want a couple of knives, from small pocket knives to large hunting knives. Eventually, you'll need to learn how to sharpen your knife with an axe sharpening stone, though you can start with an old, fine grit stone from a hardware store. Shears are also very useful on the homestead. Fiskars make some of the highest quality shears that you can buy. You'll want to get used to using shears on a variety of materials, including fabric and heavier objects like wire. A small axe is extremely useful for felling trees and creating firewood or other materials you need for your home or homestead. Axes can range greatly in price and design quality, from heavy-duty professional axes to cheap axes that break easily. A good axe will be made of high-carbon steel, which doesn't rust as easily and keeps its edge well, but it will be heavier than those made with stainless steel or other light metals. A good hammer is also a tool you'll want to learn how to use. You can buy many different kinds of hammers, and each will have a different purpose. I would recommend investing in a good carpenter's hammer, which is used extensively on the homestead. This one comes with an axe head. I've added an image of the head that came with another carpenter's hammer I own, but this is the same style of head. A screwdriver set is also a great item to pick up and learn how to use, especially if you plan to create your tools for repair or modification. You can use rope for many purposes on the homestead. You can use a rope to tie down animals, fencing, hang up feeders or other items, or even make a hammock from cloth. If you have animals that graze on shrubs or weeds, you'll need a small handsaw with which to cut them down. A simple bow saw is the best tool to start with, as it has no moving parts and is easy to use. Many of the skills that go into modern survival skills were developed over thousands of years of human history and research. We've come a long way since our ancestors first learned to survive in the wilderness. It's very important that you know the basics of survival skills and how to use them before considering a move to a homestead. A basic backyard dweller will be able to perform most of these tasks with little difficulty, but it doesn't mean that you should start hacking away at your trees or construction projects without knowing what you're doing or how to do it well. You don't have to be a professional carpenter, but knowing how to use basic tools is important if you want your home or homestead to survive in the first place. Basic carpentry. A minor issue, such as a crooked picket fence, does not necessitate contacting a specialist. Knowing basic carpentry abilities will allow you to handle the matter without incurring a large charge. Homesteading and creation go hand in hand, so brush up on your carpentry skills here and get to work. Animal care. Know how to care for your animals and pets so you can create a healthy environment in which to raise them. This includes a knowledge of the proper diet for livestock, feeding schedules, breeding, and handling of wildlife. The basics of gardening. Are you planting the correct kinds of crops for the climate in your area? Are you also providing ample space for the root vegetables to grow? Will you be able to distinguish and prevent crop diseases? Study the crops that you'll plant, and then strategize your planting methods. Till the ground, use the windowsills, hang pots, create a fence of edible plants, and use just about every possible piece of the landscape on your homestead to maximize the use of your land. If you live in an apartment, make the most of every available space. Study which plants grow in what parts and which ones can grow side by side. In a nutshell, your gardening skills should include knowing when to plant, the distance necessary between planted seeds, what requires propagating, what should be included in a greenhouse, what pot sizes to use, germination and maturation periods, what pests will ravage your crops, what vegetables work together, when to harvest your crops. Cooking skills. Just as important as growing your food is learning how to cook healthy meals. If you rely on restaurant meals, don't worry, because you can learn this skill. It's crucial to shop for your cooking utensils. The essentials are wooden spoons, stirring spoons, spatulas, measuring cups, and a whisk. You should also invest in pots and pans. Copper would be a nice material for these. Use cast iron as much as you can to make any food taste better. In addition to the benefits of taste, cast iron is a durable cooking tool that you can use for many years. One good paring knife should be enough to begin your cooking lessons. Take the time to read the reviews about each cookbook and purchase cookbooks that are written for beginners. If you don't have tangible copies of cookbooks, you can search for phone apps. Animal processing skills. The most efficient homesteaders are those who depend on animals. They have horses to ride, dogs that guard their property, chickens that provide meat and eggs, and pigs that eventually become bacon and ham. According to the Encyclopedia Britannica Online, animal husbandry is the controlled cultivation, management, and production of domestic animals, including the enhancement of attributes deemed desirable by humans. Dairy farming, beekeeping, and breeding are all examples of animal husbandry. Learning the basics of butchering will allow you to prepare and cook what you harvest from your homestead property. Understanding how meat is preserved will help make it easier for you to consume meat without processing it at home. If a preserving method has not been used on an item, it should be frozen first if it's perishable, or canned if it's not. House cleaning. Successful homesteading necessitates having a clean and well-maintained habitat. With the many chores that need to be done, it's important to have good housekeeping skills. If you don't know how to clean dishes and wash clothes, it's very easy to fall behind from there. It's also possible for chores to be pushed even further if your schedule's not organized in a way that allows for time spent cleaning up after work. So, know how to keep your home and yard clean. Vehicle care. Homesteading requires a fair amount of driving from place to place. Knowing how to care for your car is important. It's not uncommon for the main power source on a homestead to be a generator, which can operate on one or more fuel types, including propane, diesel fuel, and gasoline. A generator is not only useful in providing power during an outage, but it's also ideal for running equipment such as well pumps and freezers when there's no power available. Generators vary in size, so if you intend on purchasing one for your homestead, make sure it's appropriate for the applications you need. Knitting, crocheting, and cloth mending. The ability to mend your clothing is a skill that gives you more options and allows you to avoid having to go out and buy new clothing when something is torn or broken. The same can be applied to knitting, crochet, and sewing. The creation of handmade items can be extremely rewarding if you have some basic sewing skills. Being able to knit or crochet presents wonderful opportunities for creating unique items that your family can use as gifts or keepsakes on special occasions throughout the year, birthday, Christmas, etc. Tool care. It is imperative that people properly care for the tools they use on their homestead. If you do not know how to maintain your tools, it can become a huge problem. Tools are very expensive and should be kept in good working order. Knowing the proper way to season a tool will ensure it will work longer and be easier to use. To succeed in this lifestyle, you'll need the ability to think logically, the willingness and ability to take action, and the motivation to want to get there. It's important to learn as much as you can about homesteading so that you don't fall into the trap of thinking it's too much hard work, too difficult, or something that can never work for you. This has been the Backyard Homestead Guide for Self-Sufficiency. Learn how to have a self-sufficient backyard, grow your own food organically, raise farm animals for sustainable living, and make money. Written by Erwin Cordero, narrated by Russell Newton for Hot Ghost Productions. Copyright 2021 by Erwin Cordero. Production copyright by Erwin Cordero.